From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. We live in a day when Christians are pressured to tone down our moral convictions. Secular media paints biblical truth as backwards, oppressive, and intolerant. And as a response, too many Christians have caved in and kept silent rather than defend what's right. Well, that's not the biblical model. God calls us to stand up for our faith with boldness. And so my message is titled, Wimp-Free Christianity, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
What if you lived every single day with heaven in mind? To elevate your thinking above the daily fray, read the brand new gift book from Dr. Robert Jeffress called Encouragement from a Place Called Heaven. This is the perfect gift for someone who's grieving the loss of a loved one, discouraged about the future, or suffering a physical setback. On earth, our future looks grim, but the Bible promises that there's something far better ahead. Request Encouragement from a Place Called Heaven when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
It was the 17th century Jesuit priest, Balthazar Gracian, who said, "Truth is abhorred by the masses." If you don't believe that statement, I want to encourage you to engage in an experiment this week. I want you to try making one of these statements around the break room at work, or even try making it around the Sunday school classroom at church and see what happens. Just try saying, I believe only Christians are going to heaven, everybody else is going to hell. Or try to say, just try this out. Try saying, I believe husbands ought to be the leaders of their families. Or try saying, I believe that homosexuality is a perversion. And then just sit back and watch the fireworks. You'll be called everything from intolerant to stupid to bigoted, and those are just some of the kinder things that people will say about you. And by the way, don't be surprised if those insults don't come from the lips of Christians as frequently as from non-Christians. You see, we are living in a culture in which Christians have increasingly discarded the belief of absolute truth. That is, Christians no longer believe the idea that there are some truths that apply to everyone, regardless of their religion or their culture. By the way, that's not just preacher hyperbole in making such a statement. George Barna, who regularly surveys the attitudes of Americans, discovered a few years ago in a survey among Christians that 68% of Christian adults and 81% of Christian teenagers no longer believe in absolute truth. They do not believe there are truths that apply to everyone, regardless of their religion or their culture. Instead, Christians are increasingly buying into the idea of relativism. All truth is relative. To put it simply, relativism says everything is right sometime and nothing is right every time. That's relativism. Everything is right sometimes, nothing is right every time. No wonder, Barna says, that an increasing number of Christians are finding such things as homosexuality, pornography, adultery, premarital sex as acceptable. After all, everything is right sometime, nothing is right every time. But the wholesale rejection of this notion of absolute truth not only affects us morally, it impacts every area of life. The fact that so many people, even Christians, have rejected this notion of absolute truth explains why it is people, even Christians, bristle when you make statements like, Jesus Christ is the only way to God, every other religion is wrong. Or, abortion is tantamount to murder. Or, America was founded as a uniquely Christian nation. You see, in our culture, the greatest sin is the claim to be right about anything. We live in a culture of relativism. Now you say, well, Pastor, why are you getting so hot and bothered about that? What difference does relativism make in our culture? Let me point out three ways that relativism impacts your life in a direct way. First of all, relativism, that is the rejection of absolute truth, encourages immorality. It encourages immorality. Now, this is the way that relativism will touch your family in the most obvious way. Relativism makes all sexual activity permissive. After all, if there are no absolute truths, if there are not things that are absolutely wrong in every generation, why shouldn't all sexual activity be permitted, including pedophilia, sex with a child? I mean, who is to say that raping a child is wrong? Who says that's wrong? Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Society constructs its beliefs about truth. And our society has determined that to coerce a child to have sex, that's wrong. Well, that may be true right now, but if there are no absolute truths, why couldn't society change its opinions about pedophilia? May I remind you, it was only about 40 years ago that the American Psychological Association labeled homosexuality as, quote, a psychological aberration, that homosexuality was outlawed in most every state in the Union. What if 40 years from now, or even sooner, we have the same change in our attitude about sex with children? What if 40 years from now, people say, well, you know what? We've discovered that pedophiles don't choose to be pedophiles. They're born that way. Or why should pedophiles live in shame and have to hide their sexuality? Why shouldn't pedophiles be free to express themselves to the fullest and enjoy happiness like everyone else? You say, that's preposterous. 40 years ago, Americans would have thought it preposterous that we'd embraced homosexuality like we do today as well. Up until the 1970s, did you know this? Up until the mid-1970s, the American Psychological Association said homosexuality was a psychological aberration, and then overnight, they changed their opinion. Not because of any scientific evidence they discovered, but because of the force of the pro-homosexual lobby. In a world where there are no absolutes, anything is permissible. Number two, relativism discourages evangelism. It discourages evangelism. I was watching a popular talk show. It was an audience participation show, and the topic that night was, is there only one way to heaven? And so everybody in the crowd ranted and raved about how narrow-minded and bigoted it is to say that there is only one way to heaven. But one poor little lady, she raised her hand, and the talk show host went over there and put the microphone in front of her mouth, and she said, well, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He is the only way to heaven. And the talk show host, in the most condescending tone he could muster, said, my dear, I am so glad you believe that. And if you believe that, that's fine, but you have no right to coerce me to believe like you believe. But the not-so-subtle implication also was that when you voice an absolute statement like Jesus is the only way to be saved, that is coercing other people. That is hate speech, to imply that truth is narrow and there's only one application, which leads to the third danger of relativism, and that is relativism promotes persecution. You see, in a society that rejects absolute truth, the only vice that cannot be tolerated is intolerance. And that's why in our culture, in the classroom today, the greatest virtue that is extolled in the public classroom today is tolerance, being open to every belief. The only vice that can't be tolerated is the sin of intolerance. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, when you claim that Jesus is the only way to be saved, or homosexuality is a perversion, that's why you are met with such opposition. Because the relativist says, you are implying that a Hindu or a homosexual is inferior and therefore is deserving of mistreatment, and that is hate speech, and therefore your speech must be silenced. I was interested in reading this week an article in the Dallas Morning News item about a federal judge, Judge Samuel Kent, of the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Texas. Judge Kent was the first federal judge, I believe, who has been indicted for aggravated sexual abuse. And what made this article stand out to me is I remember something about Judge Kent. I remember a ruling he made a few years ago in which he mandated that no student participating in a graduation ceremony at Galveston, Texas, that no student who gave a prayer could use the name of Jesus Christ in that prayer. In fact, Judge Kent promised the harshest treatment possible against any student who dared utter the name of Jesus Christ in a graduation prayer. I want you to listen to Judge Kent's words in his ruling. This came on May the 5th, 1995. I'm not making this up. Every word belongs to this federal judge. He said, quote, and make no mistake, the court is going to have a United States Marshal in attendance at graduation. If any student offends this court by using the name of Jesus, it's inserted, that student will summarily be arrested and will face up to 6 months incarceration in the Galveston County Jail for contempt of court. Anyone who thinks I'm kidding about this order or expressing any weakness or lack of resolve better think again. Anyone who violates these orders, no kidding, is going to wish that he or she had died as a child when this court gets through with it. Now, how's that for tolerance? Apparently, this federal judge believes that the First Amendment promising free speech applies to everyone except evangelical Christians who want to use the name of Jesus Christ. The Jesuit priest was right. Truth is abhorred by the masses. But I'll have to say, ladies and gentlemen, my real concern about relativism is not the relativism that our nation has embraced. It's the fact that Christians are discarding their belief in absolute truth and buying into relativism as well. To put it simply, I'm getting sick and tired of wimpy Christians. And we have them all around us. Christians who are waffling and wavering about the essential truths from God's Word. And you see it everywhere. I remember watching Larry King live. He was interviewing a well-known evangelical leader who is a household name. And Larry King, an unbeliever, asked this evangelical leader, "Do you believe that a moral Muslim is going to spend eternity in hell?" And this Christian leader, we all respect, hemmed and hawed and waffled and wavered and finally said, "Well, Larry, that is not my judgment to make. We just leave that up to God." When God has already spoken on that subject, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Wimpy Christians. What's happening right now is, instead of holding out the light of God's truth, as Paul commanded us to do, Christians are hiding that truth. They're even extinguishing that truth by blending in with the darkness around them. What happens when Christians reject absolute truth and embrace relativism? Barna says, when a majority of Christians proudly cast their vote for relativism, the church is in trouble. The failure to address this issue at its root and do so quickly and persuasively will undermine the strength of the church for at least another generation and probably longer. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm beginning this new series today, Politically Incorrect. We are going to look at seven of the most outrageous politically incorrect beliefs that Christians can voice in today's world. And not only are we going to articulate those beliefs, but I'm going to try to provide you with the best biblical, scientific, historic information and evidence that will allow you to stand up and compassionately but convincingly say, this is what we believe and this is why we believe it. Let me just share with you briefly three foundational principles about absolute truth that are really going to be the undergirding of this series. Number one, absolute truth is universal. Write that down. Absolute truth is universal. I was listening to a talk show host here in Dallas on the radio driving to work, and the subject of discussion was whether or not the Ten Commandments should be displayed in the public classroom. And the caller called in and he said to the host, "Well, I'm a Christian, and of course I believe the Ten Commandments ought to be displayed, but I believe they ought to be displayed because these 10 rules for living apply to everyone, Christians and non-Christians alike. So everybody should see them." And the talk show host, who happens to be a Christian, said, "Well, I agree with you. I'm a Christian, but not everyone believes like we do." And the caller said, "Well, that's the point. Even though everybody doesn't believe in these truths apply to everyone." And the host said, "Well, you and I believe that they apply to everyone, but just because we believe it doesn't mean it believes that it applies to everyone." And on and on and on and on and on they went. They were in an argumentative circle there. You see, that talk show host had bought into this concept of relativism. It's the idea that absolute truth only applies to people who believe that it's absolute truth. Truth only applies to those who believe it. Can you think of anything more ridiculous? No, what really has happened is we have simply replaced old absolute truths for new truths. That's what we're doing. That's what our culture is doing. Everybody believes in absolute truth. The only question is, which absolute truths are you going to believe in? And that leads to a second principle, and that is that absolute truth is revealed. Absolute truth is revealed. There are God-given truths, God-given values. And where do we find those values? This book, the Bible, is the depository of God's absolute truth. These are truths we didn't construct. These are truths that have been revealed to us by God. Absolute truth is revealed. Number three, absolute truth is exclusive. Absolute truth is exclusive. Why is it that we have such a hard time in our culture saying, I'm right and you're wrong? What I believe is right, what you believe is wrong. What they believe is wrong. Why do we find that so difficult? Some of you right now are even wincing at that idea of saying that somebody's belief is wrong. How can you say that? See, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, we have confused two words. The words diversity and pluralism. Diversity is simply the acknowledgement that there are a number of different opinions about a certain subject. And we all acknowledge that, especially about religion. There are thousands of religions in the world. There are diversities of opinions about religion. And by the way, that's fine. I'm not saying it shouldn't be that way in our country. We can have a diversity of opinions. But pluralism goes a step further. Pluralism says because there are a diversity of opinions, no one viewpoint can claim to be right. That's pluralism. And we as a country now embrace pluralism, the idea that no one belief system can claim to be right. But again, if there is absolute truth, obviously there is absolute untruth. All religions are not telling the truth about God. That's impossible. For example, Christianity claims that the way to God is through trusting Christ as your Savior. It is by grace we receive through faith. On the other hand, Islam claims that the way to heaven is by working your way to heaven and doing enough good deeds to please Allah. They are saying something entirely different than what Christianity says. Now, honestly, it's possible that both Christianity and Islam could be wrong, but it's impossible that they're both right. They both cannot be right. If Islam is right, then Christianity's wrong. If Christianity is right, then Islam is wrong. Where there is absolute truth, there has to be absolute untruth. William Watkins, in his book, The New Absolutes, says that it is time for Christians to become increasingly intolerant. He says we must violate the new tolerance and become people marked by intolerance. Not an intolerance that unleashes hate upon people, but an intolerance that's unwilling to allow error to masquerade as truth. An intolerance that calls evil, evil, and good, good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are tired of a watered-down version of Christianity that waffles and wavers about the essential truths of God's Word, if you're ready to start standing up and compassionately but convincingly saying, this is what we believe and here's why we believe it, I hope you won't miss one of these messages in the series, Politically Incorrect. And I promise you this, you can always count on Pathway to Victory to preach and teach God's Word with boldness and without apology. We are not the least bit interested in cajoling our audience nor pampering them into alignment with our biblical position. Our role is to simply teach the truth of God's Word and to allow God's Spirit to do His amazing work. Gratefully, we've been given permission to speak with boldness from the very people who financially support Pathway to Victory. I found that our audience deeply values this approach. There's no point in sugarcoating or even diluting what the Bible says. So let me thank you for your financial investment in Pathway to Victory. Because of your generosity, we are piercing the darkness with the light of God's Word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with one final word in just a moment.
As we face the realities of our broken world and personal trials, it's easy to lose hope. But the Bible tells us there's something far better ahead. Find hope in the promise of heaven with the brand new book by Dr. Robert Jeffress, Encouragement from a Place Called Heaven. Filled with inspiring scripture, beautiful photos, and powerful biblical truths, this new gift book is perfect for anyone going through stressful times.
The greatest hope we have is the promise of heaven. And in my newest gift book, I want to help elevate your thinking from the concerns of earth to the hope of heaven.
When you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory, we'd love to send you a copy of Encouragement from a Place Called Heaven. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you Dr. Jeffress' best-selling book, A Place Called Heaven, along with the highly requested A Place Called Heaven teaching series.
Our departure is certain. It's not going to be very long till we go to that place called heaven, but knowing that our future is secure ought to be a motivation for us to live the most effective lives for God that we can right now.
Your generosity empowers Pathway to Victory to proclaim the truth of Scripture and the hope of the gospel with boldness through our television, radio, and internet broadcasts. Thank you for partnering with us as together we pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word.
We'll never be able to eliminate relativism from our nation and world, but today I'm imploring every Christian to banish relativism from their own hearts. This errant belief has no place in the life of a Christian. Our faith is built on truth, absolute truth. And it's time for Christians to stand up and defend that truth. I hope you'll make plans to join me again next time as I defend one of the most non-negotiable beliefs in all of Christianity, that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory. What is it about this claim that Christ is the only way to heaven that causes people to reject Christianity? Why do people object to this idea of exclusivity?
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Why Every Other Religion is Wrong, here on Pathway to Victory.
At Pathway to Victory, we're excited to announce a brand new ministry endeavor. We're stepping out beyond the borders of our own country and bringing the hope of God's Word to people in Ukraine, Russia, and Israel by translating my messages into their native languages. Thank you so much for helping us to proclaim the gospel around the world.